Good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome on in to today's FreightWaves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and it's Monday, so it's time to check in with the Stockout. Today, we've got one of our hosts and writers of the Stockout newsletter and show, Mike Bowden, is still joining us. And Mike, thanks for being here.
No problem. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. We've got a good topic for today. This goes back to last week's State of Freight webinar with our FreightWaves founder and CEO, Craig Fuller, and our head of Freight Market Intelligence, Zach Strickland. They brought up a really interesting point in the conversation about where transportation capacity is going and took a little bit of a look on intermodal. Had some questions come up between domestic and international. Talk to us a little bit about what they said and where you think the discrepancies currently lie there.
Yeah, so somebody asked a pretty good question, asked why international intermodal was outperforming domestic intermodal and whether we thought that would continue. So someone was really doing their homework or reading what I was writing, one or the other. So basically, the international intermodal, this is the 40-foot containers. And so what's happened, you know, year to date is that the international intermodal, the 40-foot containers, the shippers are moving those from, let's say, Shanghai all the way through Chicago without transloading those containers into the domestic containers. They have a sonar chart to that effect. And so you see the white line is the international intermodal containers seen the last week up 23%, domestic in red up about 4% in the last week. You look year to date, I have up about 20 versus up about 2. And so if you're just looking at the AAR data, the Association of American Railroads data, they conflate those two segments and it shows the whole market up about 10%. And the reason I think that's happening is a lot of the merchandise that's coming in right now through the ports is for some of the summer merchandise. And so it's a little bit less time sensitive. If you use international intermodal, the shippers, it's cheaper for the shippers all in, but it is slower because those international intermodal containers don't move on the domestic intermodal trains, which are sort of faster, higher priority trains. And you do have a company like a J.B. Hunt sort of arranging all of the sort of end movements, final mile, all of those things. And so it's an interesting development. I think what it tells you is that there's plenty of international containers, plenty of ocean going containers available. You remember a couple of years ago during the pandemic when there was a tightness in ocean capacity, including the container availability, that those international containers were being transloaded right at the port to get those containers back to Asia so they can be loaded again for the head haul lanes. And so it demonstrates to shippers that there's plenty of excess ocean going containers available. Why else you might care is if you're a financial analyst and you're preparing for the first quarter earnings season, you want to have your financial models for J.B. Hunt, Hub Group, Schneider, Swift all reflect what's happening in the domestic market, which is up sort of low, mid-single digits, not something that's going to be up double digits like we're seeing in the AAR, because a lot of that is international. So that's an important point. And then if you're a domestic shipper, someone like a big CPG company, like the audience for the Stockout, you know, that's an important point too, because a lot of those companies, they're manufacturing the CPG items in one big centralized manufacturing facility. They're distributed nationwide. A lot of those go intermodal. And so if you look at the AAR data and it shows up 10-12%, you're worried about maybe capacity being tight. But if you look at just domestic intermodal, recognizing that you're in the domestic intermodal space, it's up 2-4%, you're a lot less worried about that.
So as you mentioned, we're headed into the end of the first quarter, and we know that kind of all in all, transportation markets have been pretty sluggish picking up. And we know that typically truckload markets pick up as we move a little bit more into summer. You get some of that more high priority freight, some produce coming on in. Is that the same in the intermodal space? Could we expect to see maybe a little bit of a pickup as we head into our summer months too?
Yeah, so I think we've definitely seen a pickup in intermodal. I think the demand side has been, fairly solid. I think that there hasn't been enough demand though in March, which is usually a pretty solid month for, domestic transportation to cause any kind of, degree of capacity tightness. And still seems like there's plenty of capacity available. But it does seem like based on what we're hearing from ocean carriers that there's going to be an early peak season. When we get later into the year, you think of intermodal's sort of peak month as being October. I think it could, be earlier than that. I mean, people want to leave a little bit more, time to, get away from some of these issues. Like you think about the ILA strike, which potentially could happen at the end of September. So I think you'll see a lot of those fall goods come in the summer months. So that's something to look for.
We're going to watch out for that as we move into summer, as you mentioned. Let's go ahead and talk about some news from Unilever dropping recently as well. Can you talk to us a little bit about what they announced?
Yeah, so they made some pretty big announcements. They announced that they're going to divest the ice cream business. They said most likely it's going to be listed as a separate company or could be sold outright. That was the type of announcement that, you know, maybe you knew it would happen someday, but didn't know it would be last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been a lot of that's been made about, you know, Ben and Jerry's tweets and political stance. But I really think the big driver there is company positioning its portfolio towards the higher growth segments. You look at the ice cream segment, it only grew a couple percent last year. It grew 2.3% last year on volumes that fell 6%, while prices that rose 8.8%. So not only was that 2%, you know, growth less than any of the other segments, that was a lot more elasticity than you've seen from other segments in CPG. So that ice cream segment in Unilever call it a 68% elasticity, whereas something that's more normal is more like a 20 or 30% elasticity. So it could be people you know, trying to be healthier, but really I think it's just grocery prices are higher. That's an easy thing to cut back on. And you're seeing lower sales volume there. But there's also plenty of other reasons why you know, they would want to be out of the ice cream business.
And input costs, I can imagine, for ice cream are pretty high, especially if you're talking about people wanting higher quality dairy sources, which we know Ben & Jerry's is one of those groups that really prides themselves on that. This is also going to affect 7,500 jobs, and it's an estimation to save about 800 million euros is what they're looking at saving in cost savings perspective. Do we know what this means for some of their workforce in kind of a broader sense? And has there been any news about where they're planning to spin off to, or if they're looking to sell that segment overall?
Yeah, so the cost cutting, it seems to be a lot broader than just the ice cream business, where it's really sort of it seems like it was a company-wide thing to consolidate, you know, some of the white collar you know, workers. And it's kind of the new, you know, CEO took over in the middle of last year, and it seemed like part of the plan was to streamline the list of products, you know, you look at for efficiencies across the various, you know, businesses. It was kind of the ice cream business was one where there really wasn't a lot of sort of synergies with some of the other businesses. They have their own, you know, transportation network, you know, because it has to be frozen. It goes to a lot of different distribution points. You know, 60% of it's in stores, like a lot of the other products are, but, you know, there still leaves another 40% that's going to ice cream shops and various other places. It's more seasonal, like you said. I mean, the input costs can be volatile. There can be higher capital costs. So there's a lot of just more, I think, complexity there. In terms of who it could be sold off to, I mean, the company did say the most likely thing is it's just going to be listed as a separate company. So you could, you know, buy, you know, shares in it potentially, or it could be, you know, purchased by private equity, you know, group. That's what Nestle did, something similar, where they divested, you know, their ice cream business, which was Häagen-Dazs, among others, to private equity group. So that could happen, or it could be, you know, someone we're not expecting that wants to be in the ice cream business. But it just seems like some of those supply chain complexities and the fact that ice cream is not a growing segment maybe hamper some of the interest. The areas there where there's really a lot of interest for acquisition seems to be things like, you know, snack products, you know, healthy snack products, like we saw, you know, a year or two ago with Clif Bar. It's things that are similar to that. There's really a lot of interest in acquiring.
We're going to keep an eye on that and see how it affects folks headed into the second quarter. Mike, what's coming up this week on the show for the stock out?
Yes, so we're going to dig in a little bit into General Mills earnings last week and talk about what that means for supply chains and go through a number of other things that's happening in both retail and CPG.
And Grace Sharkey will be back with you from Matt's to her escapades last week. So I'm sure that you guys will chat about that. Thanks for joining us this morning, Mike, and we'll see you on later on today for the stockout.
Sounds good. Thank you.